She's going to tell us about coping mechanisms on how to deal with everything going on.
We know there's a lot on your mind, but start kind of doing a self-check of how you're doing emotionally before it gets to the point that everybody is calling saying, I'm in a crisis.
I joke that it's kind of like we've been sentenced to this time at home and we got to cross those days off.
For us in our life, we're very spiritual. Being able to have that reconnection, because, I mean, we can't go to church right now, but pray about it's been also another thing for us. It's been a stronghold to help.
The Center Solutions Podcasts, Tuesday mornings at 10, Wednesday nights at 7, and Friday mornings at 5 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
Masks, uncomfortable, not harmful. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 85-year-old working 20-plus hours a week in retail. I have just returned to work after being furloughed because of the pandemic. My associates and I are required to wear masks, averaging 7 hours daily. We feel as if our breathing is being compromised, as we are breathing in our own air with no outside fresh air. Our masks get damp inside, and some masks show the wearer to be inhaling the fabric itself as they breathe in. Is this safe? Are our lungs safe? Thank you for any reassurance you can offer. P.L. Answer. Wearing a mask for a prolonged time can be uncomfortable but not dangerous. I have seen a lot of misinformation about supposed dangers of mask wearing, so I am glad you wrote. There is a space between your face and the mask that will be filled with exhaled air. Exhaled air has more carbon dioxide and less oxygen than fresh air. However, the amount of that air is relatively small compared with the amount of air you breathe in, so you get a little exhaled air and a lot of fresh air. The space in your nostrils and upper airways have the same issue. Your lungs will compensate for the mask by breathing just a little deeper without you being consciously aware of it. Surgeons wear face masks for many hours without problems, and numerous recent studies have shown no drop in oxygen levels nor increase in carbon dioxide levels associated with masks. A properly made face mask should not allow the wearer to breathe in fabric. Recent studies have shown a well-fitted homemade mask with multiple layers of quilted cotton is effective, and my own experience tells me they are pretty comfortable. I use them when outside the hospital. Some surgical face masks will start to fray as they age. When this happens, they should be discarded. I don't recommend an N95 mask for routine use by the public. They are significantly less comfortable to wear and are still in short supply in many hard-hit areas of the country. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 59 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your coronavirus update from the Recording Library of West Texas for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. I'm Michael from the Recording Library. Here are some of the articles that we will be reading this afternoon. The U.S. hit a record number of COVID-19 hospitalizations. We'll take a look at some of those numbers. Also, key dates to watch in the coronavirus vaccine approval process. Coronavirus could have been spreading in the U.S. as early as mid-December 2019, study suggests. Head of the CDC Advisory Committee on Vaccines says decision on who gets the first vaccines first is weighty. Bipartisan group of senators announces $908 billion COVID-19 relief framework. Senate leader reiterates push for stimulus this year. U.S. House Speaker and Treasury Secretary will speak about stimulus this afternoon. And former CDC director cautions that COVID-19 vaccination program may have bumps in the road. First, we'll take a look at the coronavirus briefs. A Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advisory panel is set to meet Tuesday to develop advice on who should be prioritized to receive coronavirus vaccines. Biotechnology company Moderna has requested emergency authorization of its experimental vaccine, which means the U.S. government potentially could start distributing two vaccines in the next few weeks. More than 268,000 people have died from coronavirus in the U.S. The White House is planning a spate of indoor holiday parties as public health professionals ask Americans not to congregate in large group settings and avoid travel. Why health officials are terrified of a pandemic Christmas. After millions of Americans traveled and gathered for Thanksgiving, officials say a new approach is needed. Scott Atlas resigned Monday as a Trump administration coronavirus advisor. Atlas, who embraced a controversial herd immunity strategy, lacked any background in public health and had become widely disliked in the White House, even among aides who shared his views. Everyone in the U.S. who wants a COVID-19 vaccine will be able to get one by June, according to an official with the White House Vaccine Initiative. Advisors to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are expected to vote today on the very first people to get a coronavirus vaccine once it gets emergency authorization use. And cases are surging in the U.S. More than 4.4 million new infections were reported in November, nearly as many as the total number of cases reported in the U.S. during the first 5 months in the pandemic. And speaking of those, let's go look at our numbers. From the Odessa American, Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 9,006. Ector County negative, 32,153 out of 41,846 tested, with 687 pending, 151 deaths. Recovered, 7,074. Active, 1,781. From the Texas Tribune, Texas numbers, almost 9,000 people in Texas are hospitalized for the coronavirus for the first time since August. Average new cases decreased by 971 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On November 30th, 10,699 new cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 547 patients compared with a week ago. As of November 30th, 8,900 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths decreased by 31 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On November 30th, 22 new deaths were reported. And from the MISD dashboard, they have updated their total confirmed cases to 742. The total cases in November, 412. Now let's take a look at some short articles. The U.S. hit a record number of COVID-19 hospitalizations. Here's a look at the latest figures from CNN's Amanda Watts and Christina Maxouris. As the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention prepares to hold an emergency meeting today to vote on who will get a COVID-19 vaccine first, the U.S. continues to report record high hospitalizations, and experts worry about hospital capacity as cases surge. Hospitalizations more than doubled since the beginning of November, and the U.S. saw more COVID-19 deaths last month than the pandemic's combined death toll in Australia, Canada, China, Japan, and Germany, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Here's a look at the latest figures in the United States. There were a record-setting 96,039 hospitalizations reported on Monday, according to the COVID tracking project data. The U.S. is now averaging 91,326 hospitalizations over the last 7 days. This is up 9.63% since last week. The metrics have never been higher in this case. 18 states reported record-high hospitalizations on Monday. The COVID tracking project data warned in a tweet that hospitalizations have doubled since November 1st and tripled since October 1st. We should see 100,000 hospitalizations in the next couple of days. On the final day of November, the U.S. added 157,901 new COVID-19 cases and 1,172 reported deaths, according to Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. now averages 160,428 COVID-19 cases per day, which is down slightly from last week due to the holiday. Going back to November 1st, the nation was averaging 82,057 new cases per day. That is a 95.51% increase over just 30 days. And the numbers will likely get much worse before a possible vaccine begins to offer some relief in the spring. Experts say the daily death toll will double in the coming days, while infections will likely see another surge in the next few weeks, fueled by Thanksgiving travel and gatherings. Key dates to watch in the coronavirus vaccine approval process. Federal government officials are promising coronavirus vaccines soon, some even before Christmas, and states are gearing up to begin vaccinating some Americans sometime in December. Here's a look at some of the key dates to watch in the vaccine approval process. Today, a U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Advisory Committee will meet to vote on who will get the first coronavirus vaccine. December 10th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has a meeting scheduled to discuss Pfizer's application for emergency use authorization for its COVID-19 candidate. December 17th, the FDA has a second meeting to discuss Moderna's application for emergency use authorization. Days to weeks after the meetings, FDA officials say their decisions on the vaccines could come days to weeks after the meetings. It depends on what questions come up. Coronavirus could have been spreading in the U.S. as early as mid-December 2019, study suggests, from CNN Health's Amanda Seeley. The novel coronavirus may have infected people in the United States as early as December 13, 2019, according to a study published Monday in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. The study, which was conducted by scientists at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, analyzed blood donations collected by the American Red Cross from December 13, 2019 through January 17, 2020. The 7,389 samples collected from 9 states were tested for SARS-CoV-2 reactive antibodies. SARS-CoV-2 is the scientific name for the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Of the samples tested, at least 106 were found to have antibodies for SARS-CoV-2, including ones collected from California, Oregon, and Washington from December 13th through December 16th, 2019. SARS-CoV-2 infections may have been present in the U.S. in December 2019, earlier than previously recognized, the authors wrote. Previously, the first known case of COVID-19 in the U.S. was reported on January 21st. CNN has reached out to the World Health Organization for comment. Head of CDC Advisory Committee on Vaccines says decision on who gets first ones is weighty. Dr. Jose Romero, the chair of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee meeting today to vote on who will get the first coronavirus vaccine, says the decision is a weighty one, but one that is guided by science and facts. Romero, the chair of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, spoke to CNN this morning ahead of the committee's afternoon meeting and vote. "These are weighty decisions," he said, "so our decisions for deciding which of the priority groups are based on current knowledge and current information about the pandemic, the epidemiology, the persons most affected by this pandemic." The CDC has already recommended that the first group, designated as 1A, should include frontline health providers and support personnel. The 1A group likely should also include residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities who have been badly hit by the pandemic, the CDC has said. Romero said each state will decide within the recommended groups who will get the vaccine first. "It's not the same to be a healthcare provider that is not having direct patient contact as it is a healthcare provider that's in the intensive care unit caring for individuals with COVID or emergency room physicians or nurses that are caring for COVID," he said. Bipartisan group of senators announces $908 billion COVID-19 relief framework, from CNN's Daniela Diaz. Senators Joe Manchin, Susan Collins, Mark Warner, Bill Cassidy, Jeanne Shaheen, Lisa Murkowski, Angus King, Mitt Romney, and Maggie Hassan announced what they called a bipartisan and bicameral COVID-19 emergency relief framework aimed at helping Americans affected by the pandemic. Manchin called the $908 billion framework relief that would go through April 1st a labor of intense effort that came together in about 30 days. "It's inexcusable for us to leave town and not have an agreement," Manchin said. "This is going to get us through the most difficult times." Warner also said he hopes they pass something before Christmas. "It's not going to make everyone happy, but there's been an enormous amount of work done," Warner said. "It would be stupidity on steroids if Congress left for Christmas without doing an interim package as a bridge." Romney said the group has spoken with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin about the framework, but he hasn't weighed in. He also said they've spoken to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell as well. "I happened to be a deficit hawk. I don't like borrowing money. I don't like spending money we don't have," Romney said. But he supports this proposal because $560 billion is money repurposed from the CARES Act, so the amount of new money is actually $348 billion. When asked when there will be a bill, Manchin said the group can put one together. "We can put one together," Manchin said. "We have not had assurances for a vote, but I think the American people will put the pressure showing there's a group of us coming together that needs to be done." Representatives Abigail Spangberger, Dean Phillips, Dusty Johnson, Tom Reed, Josh Gothamer, Anthony Gonzalez, and Fred Upton of the Problem Solvers Caucus were present as well. Senate leader reiterates push for stimulus this year, from CNN's Ali Main. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell reiterated his call for Congress to pass further coronavirus relief before the end of the year and slammed House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for pushing a more expensive and comprehensive proposal than Republicans will agree to. "Let's hope our Democratic colleagues will finally let us make law in all the enormously important areas where we do not even disagree," he said on the Senate floor Tuesday morning. Moments before McConnell's speech, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told reporters on Capitol Hill that he will speak to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for the first time this month. U.S. House Speaker and Treasury Secretary will speak about stimulus this afternoon, from CNN's Daniela Diaz. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told reporters while entering a hearing this morning on the CARES Act that he is speaking to Nancy Pelosi this afternoon. Mnuchin said they are going to talk about where we are with the appropriations issue, keep the government running. That is the first priority. On what the White House wants for funding, Mnuchin said, "We would like to see funding, especially for small businesses. Pelosi and Mnuchin are speaking at 1 p.m. Eastern Time by phone today, a source familiar with the matter tells CNN. And that is your coronavirus update for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020, from the Recording Library of West Texas. I'm Michael. Coming up next, we'll be bringing you a bit of Christmas music to get us up to 2 o'clock, at which time we'll bring you national news from USA Today. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll have our local news broadcast. Here are some of the stories we'll be reading. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram, COVID Watch, total cases top 10,000 in Midland County. Midland region remains above state standard for the 14th straight day. OPEC Plus delegates delay meeting for 2 days. MC to offer 4 learning options for spring 2021. From the Odessa American, MCH details 9 deaths over holiday. County surpasses 9,000 COVID cases. Council will meet on COVID today. And Monahan's Chamber Chief wins Broadband Hero Honor. Those stories and more at 3, and then more news from the Wall Street Journal tonight at 6. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 1. Be well and have a great day. Now, on the Noon Book Hour, we kick off our series of holiday books with Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot's Christmas. In Hercule Poirot's Christmas, the holidays are anything but merry when a family reunion is marred by murder, and the notoriously fastidious investigator is quickly on the case. Christmas Eve and the Lee family's reunion is shattered by a deafening crash of furniture and a high-pitched wailing scream. Upstairs, the tyrannical Simeon Lee lies dead in a pool of blood, his throat slashed. When Hercule Poirot offers to assist, he finds an atmosphere not of mourning, but of mutual suspicion. It seems everyone had their own reason to hate the old man. Hercule Poirot's Christmas by Agatha Christie, now airing weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire, to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the
holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
wish come true. Happy holiday. Happy holiday. May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. May the calendar keep ringing happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year all year through.
Happy holidays.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and will go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and will go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your
thank you. Malakalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malakalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Malakalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malakalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Malakalikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Malakalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malakalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, very Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful, what's your
and
hurt?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's
no
dream.
Cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
This
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
swell.
Ought to say no, no, no.
Mind
sir.
If I'm moving closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Santa Claus is coming to town. One more time now.
next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 57 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
USA Today, Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Moderna follows Pfizer, seeks FDA authorization. Decision on candidates expected in a few weeks. Biotech company Moderna applied Monday for an emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration after receiving more good news about the safety.